This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. When my oldest son was graduating from high school, he applied for some scholarships for college, and one of them was a Vernon Pick scholarship. We didn't know anything about who Vernon Pick was at the time, but recently I was looking at some newspapers at the Rose Oconee Museum and found an article about Mr. Pick in a 1953 newspaper. It was a really interesting story about how he came to be a multimillionaire with a uranium mine. I looked for a family file and found a lot of details about Vernon Pick in his file. A good description of his life was there in a Rambling with Rose column from a World paper. It tells about him as a teenager becoming tired of working on the mink ranches and taking off on his own to look for satisfaction in his own accomplishments. Another article, this one by World author and professional fisherman Alvin Johnston, tells his memories of the Pick brothers. He describes Vernon as having a knowledge of electricity as a teenager beyond anything taught at the college level. After he quit school and left World, he first worked for General Electric, but soon left to make radios for another firm. He served 3 years in the Marines and became an expert shot with a rifle. After returning to civilian life, he won many trophies as a marksman. Alvin tells that he and Vernon's brother John spent a few days as Vernon's guests in 1948 at Royalton, Minnesota, where Vernon worked for years to build a communal-type community with a capitalistic system of free enterprise. He had even built a replica of Boulder Dam to supply his own power from the two rivers, which provided on-site power for their community. Alvin describes Vernon as an intellectual, surrounding himself with technical books recommended by professors from the University of Minnesota. He had become friends of Sinclair Lewis and Dr. Richard Scammon, Dean of Medical Sciences at the U of Minnesota, while attending courses there. He and Dr. Scammon became lifelong friends. Vernon had many interests. One of them was airplanes. He became a commercial pilot and ferried bombers during World War II. He ground his own telescope lens to improve the quality of the pictures he was taking while doing aerial mapping. Divorced when his only daughter, Virginia, was six, he remarried Ruth Johnson, a Bloomington schoolteacher, in Dr. Scammon's home, with the doctor giving the bride away. Business was good, and his experiment in living was a success. He enjoyed deer hunting trips with university faculty, joining his brothers John and Lloyd during deer seasons in World. He had fun with a venture to convert roe from carp into caviar with the aid of Dr. Scammon. He soon learned that sturgeon were more qualified to produce caviar than carp were. Fire destroyed the complex at Royalton in 1951. His total insurance settlement was $13,500. He bought a trailer and pickup truck and decided to go prospecting for uranium. About that time, the Korean War was brewing and the end of World War II had just been witnessed. Copper was unattainable, the atomic age was born, and a big demand for a fusion element was at hand. He and Ruth drove to Grand Junction, Colorado, where the Colorado Plateau Atomic Commission headquarters was located. Officials there suggested the Hanksville, Utah area near Henry Mountain and Muddy River, a desolate desert with no water or roads, with few animals, 60 miles from the nearest telephone. Ignoring the government's offerings of loans and funding to anyone volunteering to undertake the dangerous adventure of uranium mining, Vernon would spend 2 weeks at a time in the desert, all alone on foot, with a 60-pound backpack containing penicillin, water, dry foods, miner's pick, and his 14-pound scintillometer, a souped-up Geiger counter with more range. He later said, "I walked a step for every dollar I sold the mine for." I'll tell more about Vernon Pick's uranium mine next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.